Okay, so we're in the middle of discussing Perek Aleph, Bir Chovas Adam Bolamo. So we'll try to finish Perek Aleph today, and we'll start the first Midah also. So V'hinei Achar Sheyadanu Zeh, after we know this, so what do you mean this? After we know everything he's been talking about in the first Perek up until this point, which is basically that a person was created in order to be mis'aneg al Hashem, to get close to Hashem, to enjoy Hashem's presence. And the real place for that is in the world to come, but this world is the means to get to that end. This world is the place where a person can do the mitzvos, collect the schar. It's perfectly suited for that purpose. Whereas he spent a lot of time, and we discussed at length, the idea that Olam Haba is perfectly suited for Dveikus by Hashem's closeness to Hashem, as opposed to this world where you can experience a tiny fraction of that, but not really. You can't really experience the closeness to Hashem in this world, but you can just use this world for what it was created for. This world was the perfect place to prepare oneself for the next world, i.e., through the mitzvos, through avoiding the averos, like we spoke about at the very end, I think, last time, of the concept of sur me'rav aseh tov, that a lot of times nowadays we're stuck in the problem is we it's very hard to sell the concept of sur me'rav. It's very hard to sell the concept of staying away from bad. So we just tell people aseh tov, just do good. You know, don't worry about the bad things. Don't focus on those. Just be sur me'rav. Just be aseh tov. I don't think there are any more that I'll try to bring in. I have a few at home. I'll try to bring in a few. But you can look on. Yeah. So what ends up happening is that we added another step to the concept of sur me'rav aseh tov. We added a third step, which is the first step is aseh tov. Do something good, and then that will lead you to sur me'rav. And then you can really aseh tov. You know, it's almost the first aseh tov is a means to then further being sur me'rav. So once we've discussed all this, so we said navin miyad chomer amitzvos asher aleinu. Now we can really see the importance of the mitzvos that are upon us to do. V'ikar avod asher biyadinu, and how precious the work that we have in our hands is. Ki hine elehem ayemtzayim amevim osano elashlemus amiti asher biladam layusad klal. These are the tools that we're going to use to achieve the real completion, that without these tools, without these mitzvahs, we could never possibly achieve it. But obviously you can't really get where you're trying to go unless you use all the tools at your disposal and you properly observe everything that you need to get there. And the more you work hard using these tools, that's how far you'll get. Okay, similar idea, but we're going to try to move forward. This is the key. The key is he's saying that we should be no less careful, or we should be more careful with the mitzvos and the service of Hashem than a gold dealer, than a diamond dealer, is careful at weighing every ounce of his diamonds. Meaning, if someone told you that if you just do this job properly, you know, you're going to, you know, I'll just give you an example. We just came from a triumphant basketball game. So let's say the game was on the line, and you had to shoot a three to win. So of course, you know, certain number 35 gets the ball, and he shoots the three, and he hits it, buzzer sounds, they win, right? Or the tie. Let's make it a tie. It's better for the scenario. So ties, game's ready to go into overtime. But then the ref says, no, they lost because his foot was on the line. So the coach comes out and he says, what's the difference? The foot's on the line, it wasn't on the line. It was so close. It was so close. It was such a good shot anyway. So you ever hear such a coach making an argument like that? Why not? Because a ridiculous argument. When we're playing, when the game is on the line and you need 3 points, 2 points will not suffice. And the foot on the line is It might be a 1-inch difference in real life, but it's a world of difference in the game. You understand? So that's the idea we're talking about here also, is saying that sometimes we have a bad attitude when it comes to Torah mitzvahs. We say, yeah, I did something. I didn't daven so well. You know, I only talked a little. I didn't talk a lot, right? At least I came to davening. At least I did something. And we're very content with that. But in reality, it's not, because if the game is on the line, if you view this as what we've been discussing, chovas adam ba'olamo, this is what we're here for. This is what we're here to accomplish. And these are the means with which we can get there. So then this makes all the difference. And we shouldn't have the attitude of yeah, as long as you're, you know, I kind of sort of thought about trying, so that's good enough. You know, no, it's not, you know, trying is great. Trying is the ikker, but we need results. We need real, you know, we need real seriousness that we're going to treat things in a proper way. So he's saying that's the idea here. You shouldn't be any less medaktik in mitzvos. You shouldn't be any less serious about your Torah learning than you are when you're weighing gold and silver and diamonds. Ki tolatam no letis b'shlemes amiti v'ikara nitzki she'en yikar l'malu imenu, because they're way more important in reality. So I remember years ago when we first started losing hockey championships. So this is the first one we ever lost. It was, our team was a dominant team, and we mamish got owned in the championship. It was brutal. And I don't remember the exact year. I think it was 8 or 9 years ago. It was a very good team. It's a very, very good team. And there was no doubt in anybody's mind before the game that we were definitely going to win. And it was just, we didn't even come close to winning. We lost by like 2 or 3 goals. I don't even remember what happened. But, and the guys were, I remember they came to yeshiva the next day, and it was mamish like in Avelis. No, these are good guys. I'm saying they were going to come. It wasn't like, but they their hearts were in another place. Their brains were in another place. And I said to them, listen, obviously I don't want to be completely insensitive to the, you know, the tragedy that has befallen you, that you didn't get to win the championship. But one thing I could tell you is, you never want anybody to come and console you by saying, what do you mean? Look at this way, you guys won the, and they had won the championship the year before. You got to play in two championship, you play 2 seasons of varsity hockey, you got to play in 2 championship games. I said, who gets to do that? That's amazing. What a great consolation prize. You know how many teams in the league didn't even make the championship? You know how many teams in the league don't even make the playoffs? And you guys were there in the last game of the season. Unbelievable. Nobody wants to hear about that. Why not? Because we're here to win. We don't come to come in second place. We don't come to lose. We come to win. So any loss is hurtful. And the loss in the biggest game of the season is the most hurtful. So I said to the guys, I said, the same way you should never accept that kind of a consolation when it comes to, you know, when it comes to the season, you shouldn't accept anything less in your ruchnias. You shouldn't accept anything less like, well, I tried, I put forth a good effort, and look how much I accomplished, even though, I said, no, if you had a goal and you want to achieve it, work at it. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be upset all the time every time you do something wrong or every time you don't do something exactly right. That's not what I mean. What I mean is the same attitude that, no, I'm here to win. I'm not here to just participate. I'm not here to show up. Right? I'm not here to just be a part of things. I'm here to win. I'm here to do something legit. I'm here to do something good. And so the same attitude that you have in these areas of life, you shouldn't have any less of an attitude, right? So we're not gold dealers and diamond dealers like the Mesil Sharm says, but we understand it from sports, we understand it from other things, you know, that are important to us. And Tzon Olam Eidim says the Ramchal, Ki Iker Mitzias Adam Ba'olam Hazeh Hu Rak L'Kayim Mitzvos Avod La'amod B'Nisayon. Our job in this world is to fulfill mitzvos and to stand up to tests. And we're only supposed to use the pleasures of this world to aid us in this goal. Now listen to what he says, very important. You should have pleasure and a good mindset in order that you can then focus your attentions on the job at hand. That's a very important idea. I once heard this from a great Talmud Chacham. He said that, you know, a lot of times you think you're the frumest person if you say, yeah, I'm going to eat, you know, somebody said, your mom says, do you want dessert? We're having chocolate cake for dessert. So you say, if I'm a frum person, I'll say, yes, I want to eat a chocolate cake so that I'll have energy to serve Hashem, you know, from the calories and from the, so that's a madriga, obviously. But he's saying, that's not what the Ramchal is saying. The Ramchal is saying, you want to eat the chocolate cake. is you say, yeah, I want to eat the chocolate cake, so I'll be happy, I'll enjoy it. And when I'm happy, I know I serve Hashem a lot better when I'm happy than when I'm just in a bad mood. So hopefully it'll put me in the right frame of mind, I'll enjoy myself, and then I'll have a yeshiva das to be able to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam well. It doesn't mean you can't participate and enjoy things in this world, but there should be an ultimate goal in mind. It should never be, you know, that goes back to, you know, I'm sorry to bring in too much sports, but it goes back to what I'm very machped these days. Obviously, you know I like sports, but I'm very machped these days that on Shabbos and Yontif, my son finds out sometimes, I have a brother, my brother sits next to me in davening, so sometimes after davening, my son will ask my brother who won the game or whatever, you know, so because he gets the paper. But I'm usually machped, you know, I get helped by the fact that all my favorite teams stink, but so I don't really care. But even if they would be good, like, I'm very machped to try not to find out any scores on Shabbos and Yontif, even 3-day Yontif, whatever. And I told my son, I said, listen, you're a kid, you can do what you want. But I said, the whole goal of sports is to be a distraction from the things that are important, because we spend so much time on things that are important. We need some distractions here or there. We need something to focus our energies on a narishkeit. We need something that's nonsensical that we can then put a little energy into, so we can focus on it and enjoy ourselves and not always be so high strung, you know. But when it comes to Shabbos and it comes to Yontif, there are people who they hold like, I can't live if I don't know what's going on in the game. It's so I said, that's when what's supposed to be the break from real life becomes real life. So that's when the distraction becomes the ikker, and that's a problem. So he's saying that's what he's talking about over here. We have to realize that the world that we live in is supposed to serve as a distraction, or is supposed to serve as a heichitimtza, means to an end for us to realize and to do what's important. Sometimes you go until you can't go anymore, and then you take a break. But the break isn't the ikker. The ikker is the avoda, and the break is so that you can go back to work later. You know,
it's like the total opposite of American thinking. Like, they work just for 2 weeks.
Right. It's not the way to be. Right. You work very, very hard, long hours, so you can make enough extra money so that 2 weeks out of the year you can go to some exotic location. And it's not. If the whole tachlis of your work year is for 2 weeks of vacation, then you're in the wrong profession. You know, that's not the way you want to look at things. So anyway, he says, the way he focuses himself should be on the Ribbono Shel Olam, should be on Hashem, and he shouldn't have other purposes in the things that he does. His main goal should be to get close to Hashem. And to break down the barriers that separate him from Hashem. Until he's following after Hashem the way metal follows after a magnet. You know, he's always, you know, when you know that you're on the right track, it's that things that are positive in Ruchnias, they attract you. They bring you close. They bring you close to them. Right, so that's what he was saying. You know you're on the right track. Right, he's saying those things which you know will help you in your ruchnias, you're going to run after them as fast as you can. And those things which are going to hurt you in your ruchnias, you're going to run away from them like you're running away from a fire. That's like what the Pasuk in Tehillim is talking about. I'm trying to cling to the Ribbono Shel Olam. If we've decided that this is what we're trying to accomplish here, that we're trying to get, we're in this world to get closer to Hashem, the lahazik is bemalto nafsho chomonel mafsida. So if we're really trying to get close to Hashem, then those things that drive us away from Hashem should repel us. So once we have this overall focus, again, Perek Aleph was all about getting some kind of overall focus. What are we doing here? What are we trying to accomplish here? So once we have this overall focus, now we can look at the details. Right, we already mentioned in the introduction to the Sefer the statement of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, which is the ladder that you climb to Ruach HaKodesh, which is Zihirus, Zerizus, Nikias, Precious, Tahara, Chasidus, Anava, Yerushet, Kedusha. Now we'll take them one by one. So let's just quickly start the Midah of Zahiris. We're not going to finish it tonight, I don't think. And we'll get started on it. The way that I mentioned this a couple of times ago, the way the Mesilas Yesharim works is that he starts off Bir Midas HaZahiris. First he just tells you what Zahiris is, and he does this with every Midah. This is what it is. Then he says the Chelki HaZahiris. He goes into detail about that Midah, all the details that are contained in there. Then he says Kniya HaZahiris, the way to get the Midah. And then the last one is those that are Maside HaZahiris and how to get away from them, those that hold you back from actually achieving the Midah and how to stay away from those things. So let's just a little get the definition of what Zahiris is. Zahiris is translated usually as guard, you know, watchfulness, care, being careful. So this is, the whole idea is just to be careful in what you do. The main idea of Zahiris is that you should be careful in everything you do to concentrate on your actions and your ways. Are they good or are they not good? Don't abandon your soul to be lost, God forbid. Don't just do things out of habit like a blind man walking around in the dark. Right? It's a very emphatic mushel for people who don't think before they act. Right? You're not just a blind man. You're a blind man in the dark. Right? I mean, because a blind man, he can sometimes tell the difference between night and day. Some blind people, they can see when it's light out. They can tell when it's light outside. They can tell when it's dark. They can't make out shapes and things like that. But a blind man in the dark, his mom, he's got nothing. You know, he doesn't even know that it's light outside. He's got nothing. So, saying a person who doesn't think, doesn't care about what he's doing, doesn't have a goal, doesn't have a focus, he doesn't know what's going on. This is something which common sense demands of us. We have the intelligence to save ourselves and to run away from those things which will destroy our neshamas. How could it make any sense that a person should then shut his eyes and not pay attention? We know how to pay attention to things. So what do? We close our eyes and we dafka don't pay attention. This is the worst thing in the world. You're worse than an animal. Why? Because animals have instincts to run away from danger. They're born knowing how to run away from danger. They run away from everything that they think can hurt them. But if we go through this world without thinking if our actions are good or bad, or our path really is good or bad. He gives a similar marshal. He says, you're like a blind man, but you're walking on the edge of a river. Right? He says, it's very, very easy to fall in. And there's a lot more bad can come than good. Because it doesn't make a difference whether or not you're actually blind or you blind yourself to reality. It's the same thing. If you choose not to pay attention to things, you're basically saying, I would like to be blinded from everything that's going on around me. I'd like to just not look. I could tell you from my own experiences, a lot of times, I'll be doing something and I know it's not the right thing to do, and I'll be saying to myself, the only way I could actually get myself to do the wrong thing is when I say to my brain, I said, stop thinking, just stop it, just do it. You know, don't think about it, right? Because we train ourselves to think before we act. We train ourselves to concentrate on our actions. What are we doing here? What are we trying to accomplish? Is this something that's helpful to us or hurtful to us, right? And if we actually will open up our brains and just say, no, don't shut your mind off, think about what you're doing, then it's a different world. It's a different world, and when we act, it's a totally different thing. Yeah.
Is it to focus on like each and every like action, or to focus on an overall goal?
Ah, so it's both, really. It's both. He's going to get into that when he talks about the paragimel chelki HaZahiris. Right? He's saying that there's two types of cheshbon and nefesh a person has to make. He has to make a cheshbon and nefesh on his overall path, and then on the individual actions that a person does are they fitting in? Meaning, if you, let's say you start the beginning of the year, you say, my goal this year is to get into Harvard, right? So you say, okay, so getting into Harvard is the main goal. So everything I do should be geared with that in mind, right? So now you have to do a cheshbon nefesh. You have to say, well, at the end of the day, you say, well, I had 10 classes today. How did I do in this class? Oh, that's, you know, all right, that was exactly what I was supposed to do, and then how to do in this class. Oh, that's not exactly Harvard material over there. You know, tomorrow I got to do a little bit better in that class. There's two different types of cheshbon nefesh, but he'll discuss it. So he says, "V'hine Yirmiyoa, Yirmisonin al roa b'nei doro m'pnei hayosim neguim b'nega amidazos." Yirmiyoa Navi was very distraught about his generation. He felt that they had this horrible mida. Show you malim and neem mimaseim belisha yasimu lev liros mahem. They would constantly close their eyes to what they were doing without paying attention to what they were. Should we continue to do them or should we abandon them? Right? They were just constantly, they got so mired in the day to day, they refused to pay attention to what they were doing. And they fell into evil without even seeing it coming. This is one of the main tricks of the Yetzirah, right? This is what is the goal of the Yetzirah, to make our labor so constant and weighing us down to this, to, we don't have free time to think and to look at our actions and see where we're going. The Yetzirah knows that if we would just stop and pay attention to what we're doing for a second, of course we would start feeling badly. Of course we would regret negative things that we do. And we would feel so bad about it, and it would get stronger to the point that we would abandon sin altogether. This is exactly what Paro said. What should we do? The people, oh, they're thinking about going home. They're thinking about getting away. Make them work harder. Right? Then they won't think so much. Right? Right? That's what Paro wanted. He wanted us to constantly work. Right? That's what our Yitzhar is due to us. This is a good line. I mean, they're all good lines, but this is one of my favorites, right? Ki ish milchamahu muledes bar mimus. Says the Yetzer Hara is an ish milchama. He knows what he's doing. He's extremely tricky, and he knows how to wage war. The Eif shali mali b'mena ala b'chachma rabba v'ashkafa gedoli. You're not going to defeat the Yetzer Hara with a little angel on your other shoulder, you know, a little bow and arrow that's going to try to shoot the Yetzer Hara. You need real chachma. You need real wisdom to try to think, and real tricks and advice to try to beat the Yetzer Hara. All right, he gives a couple of examples from Sukkim. I just want to we're not going to stop there, but I just want to give one quick mashal, not even a mashal, but I just want to point out that nowadays we have a different. When you're older, you'll have that Yetzirah a lot more. I don't think too many 12th graders are so overburdened with work that they can't possibly spend any time thinking. But we have a different kind of Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is to never take a break from any constant stimulation. But we need to be stimulated at all times. So when we're not stimulated by looking at somebody and talking to them, we stimulate ourselves by tapping and by, you know, other things that are constantly, you know, constantly bombarding ourselves with different kinds of information, you know, constantly bombarding our minds with anything but silence, you know, anything but free thought. And that's very bad for us. It's very bad for us. And you know, whatever jokes you want to make, whatever jokes you want to make about the Shabbos app, you know, the worst part, whether it's mutter, us, or whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm saying the worst part of it is that's taking away our last greatest gift of, and that's you know, and I told you guys this before, and I said it about the sports games, and I said it about, you know, I said it about the phones, and it's also true. I would recommend anyone who can do it. If you can't, you can't. But anyone who can do it, you know, at least when you're an adult, you should try very hard, you know, even if you're a big, you know, reader, you like to read the newspaper cover to cover every single day, don't get the newspaper on Shabbos. Well, forgetting about the Isser v'Heter of things like that, he says, you should have a day where you just realize, like, it actually doesn't affect me in any way. It doesn't actually matter. Like, if there's important news that's actually nogea to you, you will find out. Trust me. You can't be in the Jewish community and not find out. But just to have time where you're just shutting yourself off from the world and you realize that, like, it's not actually affecting me in any way. Like, I like to know things. I like to be bombarded with information. But in the end of the day, when I don't get the information, sometimes I'm a lot better off. You know, again, we can't live without the information, but we need times where we can shut down the information from just constantly bombarding us, and we can think and we can wonder, so how are we doing? You know, as people say to you, how's it going? Baruch Hashem, fine, right? So if you're very firm, you say Baruch Hashem, good. If you're not so firm, you just say okay, good. You know, whatever it is. But in the end of the day, we don't think, oh, how are things going? Like, what did I want to do when I woke up this morning? What was my goal to accomplish when I woke up this morning? And am I actually, you know, headed in the right direction? All right, don't worry about it. Just do your thing, right? No, we don't. That's not the way to win. The way to win is to take the time to actually concentrate on our actions. Anyways, let me just finish it. I said I wouldn't, but I'm, you know, not great at telling the truth. Anyway, upashid husha afilu mifakech adam al atzmo. This is the key here. This is the key. Even if we try to do it ourselves, we try to take, you know, we try to think about our actions, etc. Ein b'kocho linatzel ilulei Kadosh Baruch Hu ozro. We still don't have the ability to succeed without Hashem's help. Ki ayitzer hara takif ma'od. K'mayim rakasav tzofer rosh lahadik v'vakish lamiso Hashem lo yazvenu. Right, the yitzer hara is very, very strong. And quote the pasuk in Tehillim that the yitzer hara sees us and he wants to kill us and Hashem will not abandon us. Ach ima adam mefakech al atzmo. But what's the chap? You want Hashem's help? You want siyata d'shmaya? If we start to concentrate on ourselves, it's concentrate on our actions. Oz HaKadosh Baruch Hu ozrel v'nitzol min ha'yitzar. That's when Hashem will jump in and help us, and we will be saved from the Yitzhar. Avlam eino mefakech hu al atzmo, vadei shehakadosh baruch hu lo yifakech alav. If we don't concentrate on our own actions, Hashem is not going to do it for us. Ki im hu eino chas, mi yachus alav. If we don't care about ourselves, why should Hashem care about us? This is what Chazal say in the Gemara. Kol mi she'ein bodeya osur l'rachim alav. You're not allowed to have pity on somebody who himself, he doesn't think for himself, he doesn't have pity on himself, he doesn't try to do anything good for himself. So what are you pitying him for? He doesn't care. Right? That's what we mean in Pirkei Avos. If I'm not for myself, who will be for me? We have to do for ourselves. We have to say, Hashem, listen, I know I can't do it, but I'm going to try. I'm going to put forth my best effort. And then it's in your hands whether or not I succeed. You know, if I'm going to try my best to really concentrate on what I'm doing, and we'll discuss the details of Ezra Hashem next week. I'm going to try to really concentrate on what I'm doing, and I leave it up to you to try to actually allow me to be successful. Okay, we'll hold here.